You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 25. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated." Well, that's kind of a tough one, right? I said, the gospel of the Lord. Normally everyone goes, "Praise to you, O Christ." Today everyone went, "Praise to you, O Christ." Because it's a hard reading, isn't it? I think it's hard. So let's pray and let's ask God's help with this understanding these holy words. Dear God, please help us. Please open our hearts and minds to receive your word, to receive both the good news of our salvation in you and your gentle nudging of us to follow you. In your name we pray, amen. So this is your second stewardship sermon for our 3-part stewardship series. When I was brand new at being a pastor, my first call in Santa Ana, California, Sherry and I, we wanted to be good stewards. We wanted to give to God and do that through the church. We wanted to be an example that members of the congregation would, you know, appreciate. And we continue to do that, to prioritize our giving to God. But the problem was, at that time, just the nature of where we were, the neighborhood that I served in, was high need. It was usual on a daily basis, if you're just walking down the street, somebody asking you for something, a cup of coffee, a little bit of food. It just happened to be a kind of a low-income neighborhood. And the problem we were having at our own family budget is that we would set aside our tithe and give that, and then I was getting, you know, hit up for other things, so that we were kind of actually giving more than we had committed to giving. Between our family and God, we were going past it. So what should we do? Well, we prayed about it and we said, you know what? We're going to actually give a little bit less to church, and then we're going to keep cash on us so that we can help in these situations. And I totally understand there's situations you don't want to give someone cash. There's a lot of those. But these were situations, people in the neighborhood, you know, we knew what we were doing. And so we set aside money. So we tried it out. And I, to the tune of $100, I had $100 literally cash in my pocket. We decided this, I would just keep this in case I needed to help someone. Day one, I go to church. And I'm across the street at the park, the little park that was by our church. And a guy comes up to me and he said, oh, are you the pastor? And I said, yes. He said, well, I'm looking for some help. Like I said, it happened all the time. And I said, well, what's going on? And he said, I'm becoming a carpenter. I've signed up for the classes. I'm in with the union. And they just gave me this list of tools that I need. And he showed me the paper, and it was official, and it had the list of tools. And he said, I'm just looking for any help I can get to get these tools. Basic things, hammer, utility knife, chisel, tape measure, the triangle square, Swanson's speed square. The basic things you need to be an apprentice carpenter. And I had this $100 in my pocket. And I went, all right, let's go to Home Depot. So we went to Home Depot, and I told him, I said, look, I have $100 and not a penny more. And that was part of the deal that we worked out, Sherry and I and our family. If we're going to do this, we're gonna stick to our budget, because, you know, it was hurting us. It was hurting us. So we readjusted. I had this $100, and I said, I can only spend $100. He was like, that's amazing. Yeah. So we went to Home Depot. We had his list. We got the hammer, we got the utility knife, we got the chisel, we got the tape measure, we got the speed square. We went to the checkout, ding, 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 and it totaled $101.30. And my stomach just sank. I only have $100. In our parable this morning, we have another situation where somebody who is a servant of this master is entrusted with a certain amount of money, one talent. And this servant, you know, says, well, I'm going to bury the talent because I'm afraid. And when the master comes back, all he has is one talent and not a penny more. I kind of can relate to that guy. I thought I had set this aside, and when my moment came to share, it wasn't enough. I can relate. You know, there's a verse in this parable that people often talk about when they think about going to heaven, right? When I someday die and I go to heaven and I'm at the pearly gates, I want St. Peter or even Jesus to say to me, these words, well done, good and trustworthy servant, enter into the joy of your master. I think we'd all like to hear those words. The problem is, as confessing evangelical Lutheran Christians, We don't think that it's our works that get us into heaven. There's kind of a big contradiction with this reading from the Bible. We believe that we're not saved by our works. We don't earn our way into heaven, but it's a gift. It's grace. And yet here in this story, it would seem that the servants that work hard enough and smart enough get in, and the ones who don't get in. So we have this tension that we need to resolve this morning. The other thing that's promised in this passage is that someday Jesus will come back. That's echoed in all of our readings this morning, Old Testament, Epistle, and Gospel. The master, if the master's God in the parable, entrusts the resources to the servants, leaves for a long time. It says a long time. Last week, we were talking about this wedding that didn't start until midnight. The groom doesn't show up. And we talk about Jesus being the groom of the church. So we have this theme that, yes, Jesus is going to come back, but we're going to be waiting a while. Thank you, Mark, for reading our first two lessons. And Zephaniah talks about the Lord coming back, and it's a time of judgment when he shows up. And again, Paul says, we don't know the hour. It'll be like a thief in the night when Jesus comes. And since Jesus is the Lord of creation, when he comes, he's going to call us to account. What did you do? How did you live your life? And if we haven't, what's going to happen? How do we make sense of this? One of the mistakes that we make in this interpretation is we think that maybe the talents are like, you know, maybe it's the money God gives us. Maybe it's the talents God gives us. And somehow it's our job to make them multiply. But what if, think about this for a second, what is a talent anyway? We were talking about this at Bible study. Well, a talent for us is an ability or a gift, but in Jesus' day, a talent was actually a form of currency. It was an amount of money, and it was big. So they have pictures of them. They look like big rocks or stones. And the amount that one talent is worth is a lifetime of income for a working person. Any regular job, 99% of jobs you would work in the ancient world, after a day, you would get one denarius. Denarius meaning daily wage. And if you did that your whole life, and you saved and you never spent anything, you would get one talent. It's a lifetime's worth of wages. The only people who had talents were kings, queens, dignitaries. It was purely a currency of the ultra elite. So, what does the talent represent in this parable? What is the most valuable thing that exists for God? What does God value more than anything else? What do you think? What does God care about? What would God give God's life for on the cross? You tell me. What does God care about most of all? God's people, the church. What if we are the talents? And what if the point of this parable is that God loves us so much that God insists? Then when we go to this verse that says, I know that you gather where you didn't scatter seed. God loves us so much, God is going to go out and find us wherever we are and wants to accumulate us and care for us and protect us. Jesus shows us a servanthood to God in which he was entrusted with a little bit and he grew it. He grew the church from the 12 disciples that followed him to look at us now all over the earth, people who have faith in Jesus and God. And of course, there have been others who have been called by God throughout the years to gather God's people together. God's most precious people. thing is us, the church. God loves us. God loves you unconditionally. And yes, we are saved by grace and not by our works. So if that's true, where stewardship comes into play, it's not so much a harsh judgment of did you double all the assets that you were given, but it's a question or an invitation to participate in God's desire to share God's love with all of creation. Would you at least help and participate in God gathering all of God's people and everybody knowing the love of God all over the earth? So, stewardship. Last week, we were talking about saving. The wise bridesmaids saved their oil, and they were prepared to serve God at any moment. That's part of our stewardship, is saving. So we are prepared to serve God at a moment's notice, so that we're not caught flat-footed, so that we're prepared for the rainy days and the difficult moments. And today's is about supporting God's mission on the earth, the church. God's mission to gather all of creation together. You are invited to be a part of that. And when we do it, God does amazing things. Like when I was a brand new pastor in Santa Ana, I was standing in line at Home Depot. I had $100 exactly in my pocket. I mean, I literally got out my wallet. We had rung up all the tools. It was $101.30. I got out my wallet. I had five $20 bills. And I said, I told you I had exactly $100. And the gentleman I was with stuck both of his hands in his pockets like this. And he pulled, I'm not going to do it because I have all kinds of stuff in my pockets, but he pulled his pockets inside out like this. And you could see the pockets were inside out. And one pocket was a crumpled up $1 bill. In his other pocket was a quarter and a nickel. This is a true story. He had exactly $1.30 and he put it on the table. And we had exactly $101.30. And I kid you not, the person working at the checkout line in Home Depot literally clapped. And the person behind us went, whoa. And this gentleman had his starter kit of tools so that he could learn how to be a carpenter. When we support God's mission to share God's love, the multiplication happens. We don't have to worry about it. It's about trusting God, giving God what we can to build up God's church. Amen? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.